Have you actually told your mom that you dropped out of grad school?
Well, yes, I'm telling her right now on a highly produced podcast with everyone. Hey, y'all, welcome to On Our Terms. This is a place where those disparate identities converge, convene, and come home. It's hosted by me, yours truly, and if you know, you know, it's Matu Ba. I'm the big sister, or the oldest daughter, who f***s up so you don't have to. This is not a safe space. It's not. It's not. I know, record scratch. But this is a brave space. We're gonna be brave. And so buck up. Mummy, I dropped out of grad school. I have really struggled to tell my mom that I dropped out of grad school. But I think the best place to start with this story is to tell you guys why I even decided to go to grad school, which is, I think I had my parents in my ear. They were like, you know, this is the next step. That makes sense. I'm the daughter of African immigrants. Of course grad school is in the conversation. Of course I'm going to grad school. I have to go to grad school. That's not even a question. It's just what program and how am I going to pay for it? All those other little logistical things that they don't even think about, that's what I have to take into account and figure out. And I mainly applied because I think I really just wanted to get it over with, and I didn't really want it looming over my head because I knew this was an expectation that I needed to have, I needed to fulfill. But I didn't realize how much of a transitory period I was in my life, graduating in the pandemic, not really knowing what I wanted to do with my life yet, also still kind of exploring my career, not really in a stable job at that point. And now I was like, I just kind of threw grad school into the mix because I was like, that's the only thing that makes sense. I need to just do it. And this program makes sense because I majored in public health, but I didn't really fully think out what this was going to look like. I just said, of course I can do part-time. Of course I can add one more thing to my schedule because I can do it all. The idea of me not being able to do it all never crossed my mind because that is a sign of weakness. Like, of course I can do it all. Why wouldn't I? When I was applying, it was a whole community effort, honestly. Like, obviously I tapped you to read my essays. Like, I was talking to many people and I had really convinced myself, like, I don't know if you remember, like, I really convinced myself, like, this was the right stuff. Like, this was the program for me. I needed to get in. I went to the information sessions and this makes sense because I love healthcare and this is what I need to do. And when I applied, when I told my mom, she was like, perfect. Like, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And I felt so affirmed in that. And I was like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. And I kept going and I kept going. But when I got in and I created this rainbow calendar with like all of these events and things that I needed to do, it didn't actually go like that. It really was not. The experience of me getting in was the easiest part, honestly. And this was a very good program, highly selective program, but it was honestly the easiest part. Now, actually doing this whole rainbow part thing, rainbow calendar and following through with it and following these blocks, that was the hard part. I was commuting 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours a day. And I know for people who are not from New York, I'm just going to paint the picture from you. I know it's 8 miles from here to from Queens to 168th Street. And because at the time I was living at my family home, but it's actually a lot more complicated than that. And by the time I got home, I was like completely drained. I would get home at like 10, 11 p.m. at night after a day of working and going to school and having to perform, responding, being fully present in both situations. Like, you can't half-ass any of these things because if you're half-assing at work, like, you're going to get fired. If you're half-assing at school, you're wasting money. And I just wasn't, and I didn't realize how much of an energy drain it was going to be. And then not to mention, on top of that, I was also dealing with family things. So, you know, I have to be present. I have to be present at home as well. I have to be a support system for whatever my family may need, because as you know, oldest daughters are like the chief of staff of their family. Like, they're the operations manager. Like, they make sure everything gets done, everything works. And that was a struggle, honestly. What made me actually stop was the fact that I think midway into my first semester, I realized I didn't want to study this. Like, I care about healthcare, but not enough to be studying it in a master's program and to be paying all this money for it. Like, I did not care that much. And that shift in what I wanted became so clear, I think, after my first class. But I was like, no, girl, you cannot. Like, you already paid tuition. Like, you have to keep going. And then also, I was coming home and I was hearing my parents on the phone telling their friends about, like, you know, like, yeah, you know, Ismatu's in grad school now and she's working, like, in big tech. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't embarrass them. Like, I can't. That's embarrassing. Like, imagine you're, like, not bragging. You know, they were bragging. Imagine you're bragging to your friends and the girl you're talking about drops out. Like, gag. I'd be gagged. And so I felt like I had to keep going. Like, I can't embarrass her. I can't embarrass my mom. I wasn't doing it for myself. And that became clear to me definitely after a few classes, after the first month of being in the program. But I had to keep going. I had to keep going because I was like, no, I can't fail. Like, I've already committed to this. Like, I'm just going to be miserable. I remember saying this to myself. I was like, I guess I'm just going to be miserable for 2.5 years. It's going to be fine. Like, girl, no, it won't be fine. Like, I will be miserable. You cannot compartmentalize misery. Like, you actually can't compartmentalize misery. And so I just kept going. And then it led up to this one night after my journey. I just told you guys about my journey. My 4-hour journey from commuting and then working and dealing with white people all day and then going to school and dealing with white people again. And I came back home. And my mom was speaking very willy-nilly about my degree because she was explaining, I think, either to my sister or a friend, the program she's so proud about. She was explaining about how she doesn't even know what I do or what I'm studying and speaking about it in a very, like, derogatory would be the word, I guess, in a very
nonchalant,
lackluster way, like, I'm pursuing this silly degree. And I was like, oh my God, why am I doing this? Like, why am I putting myself through all this stress to make sure that you're saving face and you're happy and you're proud of me when you're actually not proud of me and you think what I'm doing is a joke? And I'm out here wasting money on this degree, stressing myself out, crying, panicking, sleeping on the train. Like, why am I doing this? And so I ended up just, that night, I remember me and my mom had like a back and forth and we got into an argument. We actually did get into an argument. And I went and I sent an email and I was like, I'm taking a leave of absence to the dean of my program. Like, it was time for me to be fucking for real. The moment I sent that email and I closed my laptop, I think I just fell a little bit deeper into my bed. I slept so heavenly that night. I slept so sweet that night in a way that I can't even explain because I was actually free. I was finally free from the hell of this program. And I was also, I guess, freeing myself from the expectations of my mom in a way that I didn't even realize. And a major part of me becoming free was therapy because I didn't even realize up until now, I came into therapy as I joined this program because I guess my body or my mind just knew, girl, you're doing so much. You're all over the place. You don't know what you want. I was feeling insecure in a lot of different places in my life, whether it was family, friends, professional, whatever it was. And I needed something to anchor me. And I felt like I needed a sounding board. And I couldn't do that with my younger siblings. I couldn't do that with my friends because they were also figuring it out. Couldn't do it with my parents because they didn't understand what the hell I was going through. And I needed somebody who was sane and professionally licensed to do this work. And so I went to a therapist and paid her a lot of money an hour to just talk about my feelings because I needed it. And she made me realize I was doing this all for the wrong reasons. Like, I'm doing it for my parents. And I'm building up this resentment towards them because I'm actually so miserable without even realizing. That's why my mom making such a nonchalant comment like that, because it was such a small comment looking back at it, but it was enough to just piss me off to to drop out of a master's program that I already paid money for. And when I tell you guys, once I closed that laptop, I didn't write a paper. I didn't show up for a final exam. Like, I ended the program that night. That night in April. It was over. It was finished. Professors were emailing me talking about, do you want an extension? I was like, girl, bye. F***ing exam. Like, I don't want nothing to do with you. And honestly, I don't regret it. It's been a year. Like I said, it's been a year now, and I don't regret a single thing. I actually wish I left earlier. I actually wish I left after that second class where I was like, I'm going to be miserable and it's going to be fine. The moment I said I'm going to be miserable, I should have sent the email and left. Bye. 12. I mean, it would have been like 12K down the drain, but whatever. Because now I owe more money. I have never gone against my mom's wishes up until this. And me dropping out of grad school is actually a ricochet effect of me really going against my mom's wishes. And that was the beginning of the end, which is crazy to say, because if you are Guinean, you're Fulani, you know what I'm talking about. I think from going to boarding school, to going to college in New York, to even applying to the grad school program, I've always done what my mom's wanted. I wanted to be everything she could be proud of. And once I dropped out of that program, I guess I really said, f*** that. F*** being anything that you're proud of. Not that I don't want my mom to be proud of me. I do. But I had to release myself from the pressure. I had to. Because if I didn't, I was going to be a really bitter person. And I was an angry child, y'all. We'll get into that. I was an angry child. But I was going to be a really bitter 20-year-old if I didn't. It led me to liberating myself in other areas of my life that I didn't even realize. I didn't even think I could, because I was so scared of what disappointing my parents will look like. But once I guess I did this, this was a big disappointment. Once I did this disappointment, I was like, okay, I can do everything now. Like, I can really just disappoint everybody and just do it all. And like, well, I'm gonna be fine because I did the biggest one. I dropped out of grad school. This feeling of wanting to achieve and not wanting to be not perfect comes from everything that I am, like everything that I've been through. I think it comes from being in this program at like 12 years old that like told me that I need to work hard and like change the generational wealth. I don't even know, change the generational curses or like transform my life and my family's life. I think it's being the eldest daughter of a single mom who's constantly told you you need to push forth. And I think it's also being in these highly competitive, predominantly white institutions that have constantly told me, like, I am not enough and I need to always overcome and I always need to push myself or be working towards something to overcome something. Constantly operating from this scarcity mindset, which also I think also channels into having immigrant parents. I think it all kind of all melted together and produced this really horrible thing that happened where I applied to a program I shouldn't have applied to in the first place. I think my parents wanted me to go to grad school, not because they wanted me to suffer, but I think they really do think this degree is going to give me the security that I need. And they have this, and they've been surviving in this country for so long. Like, all they really do dream for their children is to not have to survive. Like, they just want you to have all the safety and security that you need. And I really do empathize with that. But I don't think they realize, or at least my mom, I don't think she realized how much privilege she's fought for me to have. That I have the privilege to think and feel abundantly and to not operate from a scarcity mindset. My mom has given me that privilege. She's truly fought for my education so I can get to this point. But just because I felt, or I've been accustomed to operating from being burned out and that being normalized to me, I felt like I just needed to keep pushing. When that's not realistic and that's not sustainable. Not realistic. I think the word is sustainable. That's not sustainable. Like, you can't be operating from borrowed energy. And I've been steaming through life since I was 12.
So why don't you look in the camera and be vulnerable and honest and announce Hi, I'm Ismatu Ba, and I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Hi. My name is Ismatu. My name is Ismatu Ba. And I am a recovering perfectionist, unfortunately. And this is for all my recovering perfectionists out there. I know it's easier said than done. Like, I'm a recovering perfectionist. But no, truly, I am going through it. I am trying to recover from being perfect. And I'm trying to recover from doing it all. I'm trying to recover from being able to say yes to everything and thinking I can handle anything and I can compartmentalize everything and I can handle all hurt and any hurt and just push through because I'm tough and I can handle it. Because, no, I can't. That's just the truth. Like, I just can't. I will break down at some point. And I have. I have broken down. This is me post-breakdown. These are my confessions. I think my experience and what led to my breakdown is very specific because I'm the oldest daughter of Guinean Muslim, conservative Muslim parents. And it's not just like, you having immigrant parents is not enough to just relate. You really have to identify with all of these attributes, or at least the majority of them, for you to really understand how alone I felt. And that's why I think I really struggled to even come to realizing that I needed to drop out, because I didn't really have, like I said, I didn't really have anyone besides my therapist to confide in, to talk about my responsibilities to my family. As everybody jokingly says, being a mother of three, having to deal with my family responsibilities, showing up for my parents. I had a parent that was sick for a little bit, and I was also reconnecting with a parent that I hadn't seen in a long time. And that was also extremely emotionally jarring. And I had to put my feelings on the back burner because I had to be present for my siblings, because to me, I can take it. But I can't allow my younger siblings to carry that burden. And I feel like I've carried so many people's feelings and traumas. And, you know, also, I think, sadness. I think it was a period for my family where I think we were all extremely sad. There was a lot of just sad things happening for us. And in a lot of Fulani households, like, that sadness isn't given space. They don't hold space for that, because what do you mean? You have food, you have a shelter, you have a roof over your head. Like, what are you sad about? Even though there were like truly life-changing traumatic things that were happening. Not to mention, we are slowly getting out of a pandemic and all trying to kind of reacclimate and act like everything is normal. And I think for me as the oldest, I picked up this burden of, because I was also making money that I have never seen. Like, you know, I've never made that much money in my life before. I kind of fed into a lot of this entitlement over my money, my time, my energy. And I felt like I owed it to them. I was kind of carrying the burden of this responsibility of being born, even though I didn't ask to be born in a weird way. I was trying to help, but also keep myself afloat at the same time, without really realizing what that meant for me. Keeping this from my mom was actually not hard at all. It was almost as if it was like second nature. It was so natural and organic to me. Yeah, me being a sneaky little girl. Yeah, it was something I didn't even have to think about because I've been doing it my entire life. Like, I've been living this double life from my parents, I think, as long as I've been conscious, honestly. Like, I feel like even in elementary school, I didn't know how to voice it. I didn't have the range for it, but I knew there were certain things I keep to myself and there are certain things I share with my family. And me compartmentalizing my identities, I didn't realize how well I trained myself, because it actually trickled down into like other parts of my life. Like, I remember I didn't update my LinkedIn because I didn't want people to know. I started becoming a lot more reserved and to myself because I didn't want people to know what's going on in my life. And I was hiding behind this guise of, I'm just a private person. Like, I'm growing up and I'm private. Like, says the girl who used to curse out people on Instagram. Like, that's crazy. Like, I just completely turned into a completely different person. I kept creating excuses for myself to hide what I was feeling or to hide what I was actually doing, which is I was hiding the shame that I felt. That's why I didn't update my LinkedIn. That's why I stopped posting on Instagram as much. And even if I did travel, I would be so cryptic and I like thought it was so funny. But like the truth of the matter is like I was ashamed. And that's truly what it was. And if you're in the diaspora, you know what I'm talking about. Like you get it. Like, you know, before you pull up to the family function or the barbecue, like your mom in the car will tell you, like, you better keep your mouth shut. You like, whatever happens in my house stays in my house, and don't talk to that person because they know this, and don't do that because that person did that and this, that, whatnot, the third. There's all these politics that you're navigating through since you're like 6 or 7. And you know, I don't blame my mom for not understanding. I really don't. I would hate for this to turn into, because I know there's a podcast like shitting on parents and blah, 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 blah. And to a certain extent, I get it. But I really do empathize with my mom. She didn't have access to the level of privilege and the level of resources that I do. Like, of course, like I knew she wasn't going to understand me dropping out of grad school, pursuing this podcast, and investing a lot of my time and energy and money into this, because that's not something she had the opportunity to explore for herself. It's that level of creativity and freedom and ability to dream. Like, it wasn't until pursuing this podcast I realized, like, dreaming is a privilege. Like, to be able to dream is so, it's so rare, and then so few people get the ability to do that. So few Black Muslim women get to do that. I know my mom and a lot of parents actually are operating from a place of, you know, being scared and wanting the best for their kids. But I had to honestly be like, fuck that. I had to say, fuck that. And even though I empathize with her, I knew in order to make what I wanted for myself to happen, I had to keep moving forward and kind of hope that she catches up and understands what I'm doing, and understands my drive and my passion. One thing I learned from all of this is you cannot operate from your parents' scarcity mindset and survival mode, because I'm not just surviving. I'm thankful I'm not just surviving. And it's your life. It's really, and I'm not saying like your parents, but you really got to do what's good for you, because at the end of the day, you're the only person who has to live with yourself. And I could not live with myself if I stayed in that program. I'm so sorry. In fact, I can't say that. I cannot say that. that's inappropriate. But I think for me, it taught me so much about myself and how I deal with shame and how I view shame. And I'm not as liberal and progressive as I think I am. I know I tell my mom, I tell my mom all the time, I don't care what people think. I do. I do. This past year taught me I do care what people think about me, because it changed how I literally operated on social media, how I interacted with people, what I shared about myself. And your parents' teachings are so subconscious. You absorb them and you don't even realize. And even though you tell yourself, oh, I'm not going to be like this and I'm not going to do that, like, I don't care about community pressure or what my parents are saying, it still manifests in some way. And if you are a type of person who thinks you can compartmentalize, I am so sorry, you cannot. At least I can't. I know that I can't. And I'm thankful I can't. Honestly, because it's pushing me to better myself in so many different areas of my life. This decision led me down an emotional, like hurt me emotionally, mentally, physically, and most importantly, financially. I am now in debt for a degree that I don't even want. I never really wanted in the first place. You know, as I'm paying my monthly student loan payments every month, it's a gentle reminder that you really got to do this shit on your own terms and for yourself. And that's what this whole podcast is about. Not a lot of people have the privilege to do so. And I want to make sure that people who look like me can understand that we have a say in our life and the direction that we want it to go. I hope you feel a sense of closeness or intimacy in this community. I hope you feel seen. We learn, we laugh, we cry, not on camera though. And we'll keep going. We'll keep going. And we're truly redefining our life on our terms.